שהמבט שלהם לנפש לא יתאמו בעמו.
There is a specific issue for the Kohanim to be metame lemeisim. And we have really four categories in the tumah by Klal Yisrael. We have like this: a Jew, a regular Jew, has absolutely no prohibition. He's not prohibited at all from becoming tomei. He can be in contact with a body and become tomei. Not only that, he has absolutely no obligation to purify himself. He has no obligation if he wants to. If he doesn't need to become pure, right, then he has no obligation. There's no mitzvah of becoming pure, right? It's an instrument that we can use if we want to. Now, the Levi, right? A Levi has already an obligation to come to the Beis Hamikdash, right? So he is not prohibited from becoming tomei, but as soon as he becomes tomei, right, he has to become tohir again because he has the chiyuv.
Yeah. But what about a Jew's obligation? So why is that different than a Jew's obligation to come to the Beis Hamikdash?
Now, we have like this. The Jew has no obligation to come to the Beis Hamikdash at all. Meaning, the ones who have chiyuvim in the Beis Hamikdash are Kohanim and Levim Bashir. So you say, Sholei Shregolim. Now, even Sholei Shregolim is not a mitzvah shebegufoi. Now, it's not a mitzvah shebegufoi, which means that I must come to Yerushalayim. What about if I'm far away? Right? So Tosos says this, Tosos in Shochin that says that you have no chiyuv of Sholei Shregolim if you are far away, for instance. So that means, of course, if you are close and you can come, so of course you have to purify yourself.
A Levi is very far away.
He has the obligation to come. Every Levi has the chiyuv to, you know, he's the army of Hashem. He has to come and sing. He has to come and do other things, to be the shoyarim, the gate opener to the Beis Hamikdash. He's to present himself to serve. There is no such an obligation for the Jew, right? Do you hear? There's different levels. There is vaday, an immediate chiyuv for the Levi to prepare himself to come to the army of Hashem. A regular Jew, that's not the army of Hashem, so to speak.
Yeah.
Above that, so we have a regular Jew, a Levi. Above that is a regular Kohen. A regular Kohen has two things. Number one, he has the prohibition to become Tomei. That the Levi didn't have, remember. The Levi had no prohibition to become Tomei, but he had the immediate obligation to get rid of his Tomei. Right? The Kohen Hediot, right, has a prohibition to become Tomei. And that's what we learn out from Pasuk Chof Aleph. And that prohibition is maintained up to this day, even though there is no Beis Hamikdash. Right? A Kohen is not allowed to be in contact with death. Right? But he has built-in exceptions, the Kohen. The seven exceptions in Pasuk Beis and Gimel. Right? You have the mother, the father, son and the daughter, brother and sister, and wife. Those are the seven exceptions. What about the Kohen Gadol? He doesn't even have those exceptions. So he has the prohibition, no exception, right? So he's the highest.
There's an exception. Meis Mitzvah.
Meis Mitzvah. Meis Mitzvah is the only exception. There is, you're right. I mean, there is an exception in Meis Mitzvah, but the next mitzvah is an unusual case, and that's already by everybody that we learn out from Be'amol, right? That's already excluded in Pasuk Aleph. Le'nefesh lo itamo Be'amol, if there is other people around, but if there is no one around, that everybody's permitted. What do we see here? We see that in that pyramid of Kehune, you remember we spoke about the pyramid of Kehune, the whole world needs Koyanim. The world needs guides, right? Who became the guides of the world, the Jews.
Okay? The Jews became the guides of the world.
Among the Jews, who was chosen?
In the beginning, the firstborn.
By the golden calf, they lost that right.
Right?
And the Levim took over. Among the Levim, the Bnei Aaron. And among the Bnei Aaron, the Kohen Gadol. So that pyramid of Kehune, right, reflects, the Halacha of Tumah reflects the different levels in that pyramid of Kehune. So what's mentioned is, what is the connection between Kehune and death? Why, of all the halachas, the pyramid of Kehune is reflected by how much you have to keep away from death? Why does death represent the symbolic antagonist of Kehune more than anything else? There are other laws, but death, Tume of death more than anything else, expresses that pyramid. So it's in a form you have the following idea. You know that we compare the state of the Jews by Maimad Har Sinai to Odom Horishon Kodem Achet. Right? Meaning the standing in Sinai was a reversal of the whole process of the sin of Odom Horishon. Right? Why? Because what was the eating of the Eitz HaDa'as, the tree of judgment, right? That the serpent convinced Chava and Odom to become their own judges of Tov V'ra. Remember the argument of the serpent. Eat from the tree, Vehiyisem kelokim yodei Tov V'ra. You will be the judge of what's good and what's not good. In other words, before the Eitz HaDa'as, Odom and Chava were receivers of God's judgment, and after eating from the tree of judgment, they became the judges. That's the whole point. Yes, the Yisem Kelokim, you will be like God. You won't have to rely on God anymore. You will become. Right? This is one of the main aspects of the sin. The fact that Adam took decision-making as part of his task, when in reality it's supposed to be God's task, and our task is just to listen to Hashem, right? He became the Bar Da'as. You know what Da'as, how Da'as differs from Chochmah and Bino. Chochmah is knowledge, right? Bino is understanding. In other words, the use of knowledge by deriving one thing from another. Remember the example I gave with you. You teach a child 2 and 2 is 4, you gave him knowledge. If he is able to figure out how much 3 and 3 is from the fact that you taught him how much 2 and 2 is, he is using Bino, right? Of course, the Bino creates Chochmah. Because once he knows that 3 and 3 is 6, then his Chochmah becomes wise, right? Bino as Chochmah. More Chochmah, you have more Bino, because then you have more to work with. What about when you have all the facts, and then you have to make a judgment, some facts against the other facts, right? The doctor who knows all the facts, but he says, well, taking a chance, should I do the operation or shouldn't do the operation? I mean, the symbol of Das is always the scale, judgment. When you have to judge one thing against the other, judgment. What Odom wanted is he should become the judge of Tov V'ra. That is what convinced him to make the sin, to commit the sin. That was the argument of the serpent. What's Kabbalah Satoro? Kabbalah Satoro is a reversal of the process. It's giving back to God the decision making. You hear? That is the essence of Kabbalah Satoro. This is why Kabbalah Satoro is considered a reversal of the process of the sin. Right? 40 days later, what did the Jews do? They decided how to worship God. Of course, there is no question about it. That the golden calf is, whether you explain it like the Ramban, not like the Ramban, it's irrelevant. It's for sure they were looking for a way to serve God in their own way. I mean, there's no question about it, that you see from the Psuki. They were looking for a way. They decided how to worship God. What is that? A reversal of the eating of the Tzadas. You hear? It's a repetition of the eating. The same way the Kabbalah Satoro was a reversal of the process, right? It's giving back to God the Das,
Right? Not that the man becomes Yodei Tovoro, but God is the Yodei Tovoro and I accept it. Right? The golden calf is again I decide Tovoro. Do you follow how the golden calf is in essence a reversal, right? It's a repetition of the eating of the Eitz Hadas. Now, it's no coincidence then, it's no coincidence at all that similar things happen in both. You see, the state of Maimad Har Sinai, according to Chazal, is a going back to immortality. You know the Chazal say that Har Sinai was a return to immortality. Why? Simple. Since immortality is part of that state of man when he accepts the judgment of God before the eating of the Eitz Hadas, Har Sinai is a reversal to immortality. Right? The same way that when the daughter of Adam Arishon become mortal, when he ate the Eitz Hadas, when he became the judge, that is the golden calf. So the golden calf is the moment when Jew becomes mortal again. Yes? Now. Yeah?
So someone like a Sadduk who goes to the door who every day except for Hashem's judgment, why should he die?
He really shouldn't be dying. A real Sadduk shouldn't die. Sure. A real tzaddik, Gemara says, a real tzaddik shouldn't die. Right? More. You'll see more. That we'll talk about it. Right? A real tzaddik, right, is not death. Is not his problem. He can't be dead. Which means there is no tumah by him. We'll see. I'm just saying it because you mentioned that, because we're going to see. A perfect human being can't possibly give out tumah. Because his death has nothing to do with sin, right? His death has nothing to do with rebelliousness against God. But let's leave it because I want to mention it later on. So you hear clearly how the golden calf is the turning point? Now, the golden calf is also the turning point to something else. The change in kahune, right? Who were the kohanim before the golden calf? The bechor. The Bechor, who was the natural Kohen, remember, Bechor is a natural Kohen, right? In a family, the firstborn is the natural guy, right? Since that natural Kahuna didn't work out, right, therefore, Kahuna had to be institutionalized to the people who are the fittest, the ones that are most fit to lead the Jews spiritually. The Levim were those people because they spent all those years in Egypt preparing themselves for spiritual matters. Therefore, kehune, right, becomes essentially a fight against death. Do you hear? The whole idea of the golden calf is the return to mortality. So what is the job of the Kohen? Return to immortality.
The job of the whole Jewish people.
Exactly. In America, it's the whole job of the pyramid. You mean the whole pyramid is a pyramid of a fight against death.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, the higher you are in the pyramid position, right?
More on the front line.
Right? The more that the halachos of your status have to reflect what your job is. The higher your job is, the more that separation with death has to be, because that is the essence of the pyramid, the job against death. This is why it's more than any other halacha, right? The separation with death, right, becomes the most important reflection of the position of the pyramid. The Kohen Gadol, who is the highest point in the pyramid, he is absolutely separated from death, right? The Kohen Hediot, a little bit less. Levi, a little bit less. Yisrael, a little bit less, but still more than the Gentiles. Still more than the Gentile. Now, let me just add to this idea, right? So that gives us an insight into the importance of death. Why death is it becomes symbolically the enemy number one of the Kohen is death, right? It's interesting, you know, that this expression, Emor ve'omarto, is a very unusual expression. Usually it's Daber of Bnei Yisrael ve'omarto. Dibur en amiro. It's very unusual for the Torah to say twice Amiro. Emoer ve'omarto is very, very unusual. And Medrashim talk about it, Rashi brings down one of them. So Rashi brings down the explanation that the first emor goes on the Kohanim, and the second emor goes on what the Kohanim have to tell their own children. Emor la Kohanim, emor ve'omarto, says Rashi. Why this repetition, which is so unusual? Lehadir gdolim malaktanim, emor la Kohanim, that they should say to their children. Okay? The Ibn Ezra, the Rabban brings down the Ibn Ezra, the Meshech Chochmah talks about this Ibn Ezra, very important Ibn Ezra. The Ibn Ezra says the following: Vayomer Hashem el Moshe, emor el HaKohanim Bnei Aaron. All those laws I told you up to now, make sure that you tell it to the Bnei Aaron specifically. What laws did I tell you up to now? All the laws in last week's parsha, there are so many important laws, right? Remember, tell the Kohanim. Why should you tell the Kohanim? Because you have to remember that the main job of the Kohanim is not to work in the Beis Hamikdash. It's a secondary job of the Kohanim. What is the main job of the Kohanim? Teaching Torah. Teaching Torah. That's the number one job of the Kohanim. We mentioned in the past, if you remember, the Rambam says exactly the same thing, that to be a Kohen means to be a teacher, right? It happens to be that the worshipping in the Beis Hamikdash is part of your job as a teacher, but it's not that mainly you work in the Beis Hamikdash, it's also you have a job as a... No. Mainly you are a spiritual guide, right? Therefore, says the Ibn Ezra, emor el Kohanim, tell the Kohanim what I told you up to now, and add that therefore, because they have to be teachers, they also need specific laws, right? Specific restrictions that other Jews don't have. This is how the Ibn Ezra learns.
Again?
Emor. Vayim Hashem Moshe.
Emor is for?
Emor el HaKohanim Bnei Aaron. Whatever I told you up to now in Parshat Kedoshim, make sure that you tell Kohanim Bnei Aaron specifically, because it's their responsibility more than anybody else to teach it. Okay? Once you are talking to the Kohanim, the Omar Tolim, tell them other things too. Tell them, Lenefesh Lo Yitamo Be'amog. In other words, the first Emor is Ale Ovar, it goes on before. Whatever I told you before, make sure that you tell it to the Kohanim too. Once you talk to the Kohanim, also tell him this and this. Says the Meshech Chochmo, commenting on the Ibn Ezra, he says like this: if you take a look at the last portion of Parshas Kedoshim, they are all laws that have a chiyuv miset. You have the law of Arayis, the Kil Hamekalelobo Ein Moishumos Ish Asher Yishka Beseishet Oviv. All the laws of Arayas, and then you have Isho Isho Kiyeboim Oivo Yidoini, the last pasuk in the Torah, Moishu Mosu, right? Oivo Yidoini Kishu, right? Witchcraft. Says the Ibn Ezra, there's an amazing. Says the Meshech Chochmo using the Ibn Ezra, he says like this. The Gemara says like this, something that is very difficult to understand. A Jewish court has a right to give the death penalty only as long as the Kohanim do their job. If the Kohanim cease doing their job, no Jewish court is allowed to pass a death judgment. You hear? In other words, if there is no Beis Hamikdash, right, the Kohanim don't do their job, no death penalty. Right? Says the Meshech Chochmo. Right? He says, included in what the Ibn Ezra says is for sure this idea, right? That you see, emor el Kohanim, tell the Kohanim that all the laws that I told you before, in other words, says the Meshech Chochmo, all the laws that require the death penalty, the omarto, you must tell them that this is only as long as you do your job. You hear? He strengthens the Ibn Ezra. The Ibn Ezra seems to be saying to the critics, tell the Kohanim because they are teachers. Once you are talking of the Kohanim, tell them that they have their own obligations too. The Meshech Chochmah makes it much, much stronger. He says, tell the Kohanim, all the laws I told you before, in order to keep it, make sure that you do your job. Because in order to give the death penalty, you have to do your job. Now, what's the idea? What's the idea? That the death penalty can only be given only as long as the Kohanim do their job. So, in the Mefoshim it says, what is the connection between Avodah in the Beis Hamikdash in the death penalty. Now, really, we know that the Torah is against the death penalty. It's against the death penalty. Death penalty is there.
Well, it's not against the death penalty. Rabbi Akiva says,
nobody would ever get killed in the Sanhedrin. Sanhedrin would never pass
the death penalty.
Rabbi Gamliel. Tell me, Rabbi Akiva. If I would have been in the Sanhedrin, no one would ever have gotten killed.
Torah is against the death penalty unless it's carried out in a certain way.
No, ever. Meaning, Rabbi Akiva as the Gemara, how would he have managed it? Answers the Gemara, very easy. He would have mixed up the witnesses so much that it would be impossible to pass a judgment. Right? Rabbi Akiva, that's how the Gemara explains Rabbi Akiva. The Gemara in there, where is Makis? We'll learn Makis the Bob or Zion.
I'm here, that's the proof that the Torah is against the death penalty.
Rabbi Akiva said so. What do you mean, Rabbi Akiva saying his own opinion?
He's not saying that. He's just saying he would have mixed up the witnesses.
What for? Why? Why? What's Rabbi Akiva saying? Right?
See, that's the job, to give the death penalty only certain circumstances, where the witnesses are not mixed up.
In other words,
you have an obligation to make sure that they're
mixed
up.
Just the opposite. You have an obligation to mix them up in order to minimize the amount of time that there will be a death penalty.
Yeah, but where you don't mix them up, then the Torah wants you to give them a death penalty.
Of course, yeah, 100%.
So it's not against the death penalty, only for certain things.
But we have to minimize it.
Okay.
Minimize it.
There's a difference. It's not against it.
That means it's against it. That means that the Torah is saying, as much as possible, try to keep away from it.
It doesn't mean it's against it. It just means it wants... It means it only wants to keep out of it.
No. Isn't that what he's saying? That Rabbi Akiva is saying that the Das Torah, the wish of the Torah is, minimizes to the minimal amount.
True. And then he has to do what he wants it.
Yes, but the Torah is saying if you have a possible way to get out of it, try to get out of it. Right? How else do you learn the other statements in the Mishnah? Sanhedrin shehorag echad v'shirim shono nikro Kotlani, the killer cord. What's the idea? Just a statement, just a story? It means that it became that people would point to it and say, this is something that's bad. It's bad what they're doing. They had to do it, but it's bad. We are against it. Right? I mean, it's obviously that Rabbi Akiva is saying we have to minimize it. We have to minimize it. So why does the Torah say death? Because the point is that the fact, it's more. Rabbi Akiva holds that we have to be in a much higher madrege, right, to be able to kill. Because killing a human being, in other words, destroying his physical being, is a statement of the high purity of the Madrege of the Nishomo Klalis of Klal Yisrael. Now, Klal Yisrael is a very high Madrege. Any little flaw is bad for the Jewish people, right? But are we in such a Madrege? When we are in a very high Madrege, then death becomes important because Ubiar Toho Rom Yikir Becho. And the Torah calls it Ubiar Toho Rom Yikir Becho. There is a Ra among you, right? You have to get rid of it. You have to make the operation and uproot it. But Ra is only sensed if we're in a very high madrega. What about if we are all bad? If we are all bad, so what's the difference? The flow is not so terrible anymore if we are all that way. Okay? Comes out, the fact that a court does give the death penalty must be a reflection of a very high spiritual level, just the opposite. The lower your level, the less sensitive the Neshome Klolis of Klal Yisrael becomes to the flaw, to the sin. You understand? The reason why today we can't give a death penalty is not only because we don't have the power, because it would be silly for us to do it. We are so flawed, we are so dirty anyway, that one more spot won't make a difference. That's the whole point. The cleaner, the purer you are, right, the more noticeable such a flaw is, right? Like we've seen in the end of the parsha. in the times of Moshe Rabbeinu, somebody was Mekalel Elokov, somebody right in that Madreges, even though he didn't have any warning. And usually they shouldn't have punished him. But they said, but we have to react. What do you mean we are not going to punish him? Something has to be done. At the end of this Parshas Emor. Why? Because they felt that according to that level, they have to react. And if they don't react, they are going to bring down the general level.
The Torah wants the death penalty because it's a reflection of our high level.
If we are in that high level. If we are in that high level. Right. Now, in a perfect level, we are for the death penalty. In a perfect, now, when we are very high level. Now, that high level, of course, according to the Meshech Chochmo, using the Ibn Ezra, is dependent more than anybody else on the Kohanim, on the teachers. Okay? So according to the Meshech Chochmo, this is how the Pshat is. Emor Lakoni, tell the Kohanim, right, that we should carry out the death penalty. But that depends on you. You can bring up or bring down the level of Klal Yisrael, right? And it's no coincidence. It's an incredible thing that the stress on the importance of the Kohanim as guides to all levels of Klal Yisrael. We find that extreme situation where the highest person in Klal Yisrael is responsible for the lowest. You know where we find this halacha? Or in Mikvot, we find this idea of that emor ve'omar, the tremendous responsibility, and again, the responsibility for death. Again, for death. What's the halacha? If somebody kills the shoyget, right? In other words, there is a death in the world. A death that shouldn't have happened. It wasn't even intended. You know whose fault it is? Kongolo. Again, death and kehunot toilo, the relationship, right? Again, you see that how it ties in. Now, it's interesting. You know that, I forgot, there's no Gemara Ksuvas here by any chance. No, right? It's not that I'm just going to tell you over what it says. It says like this. The Gemara says like this. Beyond Shemes Rebbe, in the day that Rabbi Yehuda Anosi died, Botlo, there's a question in the text over there, Kedusho or Botlo Kehuno, there is no more Kehuno. When Rabbeinu HaKodesh died, when Rabbi Yehuda Anosi died, there was no Kehuno. What does it mean? Says that it's in Kuf Ches in Ksuvas. Says, Kuf Gimel. Kuf Gimel Amid Bey. Kuf Gimel Amid Bey in Ksuvas. Says like this. Says Toisves. What does it mean when Rebbe died, Botlo Kehuno? It means that day we forgot about Kehuno. Because the Kohanim took part in the burial of Rabbeinu HaKodesh. And listen to this. If you have a chance, take a look at this. The Rabbeinu Chaim HaKohen. Rabbeinu Chaim HaKohen was one of the Balei Tosfos. He says, Ilu Hoyisi, if I would have been there, Kesemeis Rabbeinu Tam, if I would have been there, Rabbeinu Tam was his Rebbe, Rabbeinu Chaim HaKohen's Rebbe, if I would have been there when Rabbeinu Tam died, I would have taken part in the burial. What's that?
Who's the name?
Rabbeinu Chaim HaKohen. It's one of the Balei Tosfos. If I would have been there when Rabbeinu Tam died, I would have taken part of the burial. Why? Because you see from the Gemara that tzaddikim, right, are not part of this law. This law of the prohibition against being metame yourself, that doesn't include tzaddikim. This is what the Gemara means, that in the day that Rebbe died, no more kehuna. It means that day there was no kehuna because all the kohanim took part of the burial. So therefore, Rabbeinu Chaim Kohen, right, would have taken part of the burial of Rabbeinu Tam, he says. This is what Tosfos says in Kuf Gimel. Ilu Hoyisi, if I would have been there when Rabbeinu Tam was buried, I would have taken part in the burial. What's the idea? It says like this. It says that tzaddikim died b'neshiko, not through Hamalach HaMoves. It's not the angel of death that killed. But neshiko, it means that the soul becomes so attached to Hashem, right? And the body can't keep it anymore, so it's as if like the soul is attracted like by Hashem and it leaves the body. You don't have the Malach HaMoves to make the cut, right? The Malach HaMoves usually cuts the connection between the soul and the body, right? The sword of the Malach HaMoved, right? Neshiko means without the sword. There is no cut, right? The tumo comes from the cut of the Malach HaMoved. When the Malach HaMoved uses that allegorical sword of his to cut the connection between the soul and the body, that is what creates the tumo, the Malach HaMoved, right? Hatzadik's death, right, has nothing to do with the Malach HaMoved. The Hatzadik's death comes from the fact that the Hashem kisses the soul, and through the kiss it attracts it. You know, it says that, right? Through Mitzat Neshiko. That Mitzat Neshiko has no tumeh at all. Now, by the way, I just want to tell you, Derech Agav, I once worked on this sugya, that whether Kohanim are allowed to be metame on Mitzat Tzadikim, whether a Tzadik is metame or not. So I proved beyond a reasonable doubt that this is an argument, really, in Midrashim and in Gemara. And it depends on the argument, the Pesach Sheni. Remember by Pesach Sheni that some Jews came to Moshe and they said, we are Tomei, right? There is an argument, who were they? Those people who said, we were Tomei when you made the Pesach Rishon. In the second year when they came out of Egypt, they made a Korban Pesach, right? And some people came a little later and said, but we didn't have the chance, right? Because, right? So, it says, so it's a question, who were they? Right?
So they said that they brought it because they said they were...
So that's what it says. So Moshe Rabbeinu told them, you can do it 30 days from now. In the 14th day of Iyar. This Pesach Sheni. The question is, who were those people who said to maim Lenefesh, that they were Tmeim Lenefesh? Who were they? Now, who had died at that time? So there is one opinion that it was the two care of the two sons of Aaron, right? There's one opinion like that. Those were the two, right? Because if you remember, when was it? When was the death of the sons of Aaron? In Nisan, the beginning of Nisan. It was really, well, the 12th, what?
It would have to be with the 7 days.
And they had to wait 7 days, so therefore they couldn't bring the Korban Pesach. Now, they were tzaddikim, right? They were tzaddikim. They died, mitzas neshome v'agufkayom, mitzas neshiko, right? And some say, no, it wasn't them. It's clear that in Chazal itself there was an argument whether tzaddikim are metame or not. Really, there is an argument. So, because otherwise, why were they tomei? They weren't tomei at all. If they had to, they took care of tzaddikim. If a tzaddik is not metame, right? So what's wrong? Why would they worry about the Korban Pesach?
Didn't the other opinion say that it was?
It wasn't them. It was somebody else. It was this happened, that happened, but it wasn't them. Yeah.
But do we see any place in the Torah where it says that there are exceptions to Tomei Meis? In other words, there's not Tomei Meis when you touch a dead body?
We don't find it. So I'm telling you, the Rabbeinu Chaim HaKohen brings a proof only from that Gemara in Ksuv Kuf Gimel.
Right? They have to meditate. How do we know whether I'm
touching a dead body? Well, you see, I mean, to the point that Rabbeinu Chaim HaKohen says, well, if Rabbeinu HaKodesh wasn't Metame, so Rabbeinu Tam wasn't Metame. You see, they weren't scared to compare generations. You hear? Rabbeinu Chaim HaKohen says, if Rabbi Yehuda HaNossi wasn't Metame, then Rabbeinu Tam wasn't Metame. It's some time between them, right? And we said, what do you mean? If he was, Rabbeinu Tam is exactly, it's not possible that if Rabbeinu HaKodesh wasn't Metame, that Rabbeinu Tam should be Metame. You see, a tremendous, what kind of people they were, yeah?
Rabbi, weren't the Jews who carried the bones of Joseph supposed to have been...
Tomei? Exactly, it's another one of the riots. There is one measure that says that those people who were carrying Joseph became Tomei. And there's a measure that says, no, that wasn't them, that Joseph wasn't Metame. There's no question that in the Midrashim themselves, there's an argument whether a tzaddik is Metame or not. But just as an aside, but the idea, the concept exists, that somehow, this idea of kehune, the restriction doesn't apply, right,
when a tzaddik dies. Again, because the death that they are fighting is the death of the Malach HaMoves, not the death of Neshiko. Right? That's the whole idea. Yeah.
In other words, so I understand.
Yeah.
If whether the argument is that it's the Jews who are carrying Joseph, or the Jews who had to do with whatever.
No. But then there are other opinions that between those. That the other people had died. There were other people who had died. The Kalels, other people, the Mikok. Right. So the argument there, the basic argument, is whether a tzaddik is metami or not. Okay. Okay, so again, you see the connection between kehune and that death that's caused by a sin. It's not any death. It's the death that's caused by a sin. Death, sinless death, right? According to Rabbi Nochaim HaKohen, is not metame. Because it's only the sin that's metame, it's not death in itself. It's the sin that caused the tumeh.
There's no death without sin.
Again?
There's no death without the sin.
There is, what do you mean? There is death without the sin. But it's a different type of a death. It's a misas neshiko. But that death that comes without a sin is not a regular death. It's a new type of death that's called misas neshiko. That's not metami, according to Rav Chaim Cohen. Okay, now.
The purpose of everything done by Tarakatava?
What? Which, what do you mean? Why they die? Okay, that's what the Gemara says. The etio shel nochosh. I mean, after all, the nochosh. The Gemara says there are people who die because the nochosh, the serpent, brought death into the world, not because they deserve it. That's meaning they are part of the humanity, and they have to suffer the consequences of being part of humanity. But you can't blame their death on sin. Right? Like Moshe Rabbeinu's death. It's nothing to do with sin. Oh, yeah.
What? The Medrash that the Malach HaMoves came to Moshe Rabbeinu.
Yeah.
Moshe Rabbeinu scared him off. Why did he come?
Well, just the opposite. They say that he came, yeah, right? And eventually Hashem kissed him. Hashem didn't use the Malach HaMoves.
But eventually, yeah, first they tried with the Malach
HaMoves.
Why? Because
there was a flaw. There was a flaw in Moshe Rabbeinu's life,
mm-hmm,
right? And it was Ke'ilu, that flaw brought the Malach HaMoves, and he fought it off. Right?
It wasn't big enough flaw for the cut.
Right. Right. That's the idea. But the Midrash says, Moshe met Misat Neshiko. That's what the, more.
And Dovid HaMelech?
All right, that's a good question. By Dovid HaMelech, it's a good question. Dovid HaMelech is a good question, because there it says clearly it was the Malach HaMoves. How does it fit with this idea? There it says clearly it was the Malach HaMoves. That's the question. So, good. I mean, you know, it's a question. It's, you know, well, it's,
how does
Rabbi
Nochaim HaKohen deal with that?
Oh, right. Right. It's a question of Rabbi Nochaim HaKohen.
He didn't say he was Dovid HaMelech.
What? I don't know. I don't know, with those people you can never tell. He would say, well, Dovid HaMelech is different. Who knows? Who knows how he would, Dovid HaMelech is a different type of a person. You know, he's not like Rabbeinu Tam. Who knows what he would say? I don't know.
Hobbs on a higher level.
I don't know. I'm just saying what, you know, you're talking about Rav Chaim Cohen. That had no doubt for a second that if Rabbi Yehuda Anossi, so of course Rabbeinu Tam, right? So who knows what you would say? I don't know.
A person be on a higher level and still have sin.
Right.
And somebody on a lower level without sin.
That's the point. The point is, of course, that we're talking about the purity. Somehow he was sure that Rabbi Yonatan was a man who was pure from the beginning till the end, and therefore he's in a different category.
But
so maybe
the man
is higher, but right. Anyway, all this points to the incredible connection between kehune, and death. Legabe Rashi's pshat, emor ve'omarto lehachir gdoili malaktanim. There are a few places in the Torah that the Torah hints to us that we are responsible, responsible for what our ktanim do. Now, what the children do is the responsibility of the adults. Now, that you are not allowed to feed a child non-kosher food, to feed him, right? Midorai said you don't have to stop it in Bezim Mitzvim Lafrisho, but you're not allowed to feed it to him, to give it to him, even though it's not Mechuyat the Mitzvah, right? But the interesting thing is, why did the Torah choose this particular case to teach me that law? That law applies to everything, right? Adults are responsible for the acts of children, right? This is the Mitzvah of Chinuch.
to be mechanech, to educate the children.
Right?
Well, it's one of the places. There are a few places in Bashrotim we find it, but there are only three, right? And this is one of them. Why would this be one of them? Right? So, it says in many Sforim, it's very proper, it fits perfectly that you should be in the Parsha of Kehune. Right? The whole Parsha of Kehune is the Parsha of teachers. Right? The essence of teaching, right, the Kohen becomes the symbol of the teacher. As a matter of fact, the Rambam in Hilchos Shmita V'Yehud, the famous Rambam, I said it over many times, says that anybody can become a Kohen. You want to become a Kohen? Go right ahead, become a Kohen. Why not? What do you have to become? Someone who gives up his life just to guide people to become closer to Hashem. Remember, we mentioned it a few times, the Rambam says. Veloy Shevet Levi Bilvad. It's not only the Levites who are the priests. Anybody can become a priest, right? As long as you want to join the army of Hashem, right? So and give your life up for Hashem, you also become a Kohen. Koidesh Kodoshim, you are the Koidesh Kodoshim. What does it mean you are the Koidesh Kodoshim? It means that you can do the job of the Kohen, which is teaching. It doesn't mean that you can come into the Beis Hamikdash and bring korbanos. That's ridiculous. Of course, that the Rambam only means the teaching comes out, that the Kohen becomes the symbol of the teacher. So it's very proper that that in the Parsha of Kehune we should learn out Lehazir Gdoilim Malaktani.
What is that Rambam?
The Rambam, the last perek in Hilchos Shmita V'Yogo. Okay, we'll stay here. What? Kehune? Kehune is teaching. That's why the Rambam says anybody can become a Kohen. What? That is the connection. Now, the job of the Kohen...
I think it has no teaching of death.